Welcome to the BioFit Blueprint Bootcamp, nutrigenomics module on energy metabolism and mitochondria. This is a super important topic because 80% or more of the people that you're going to see in practice have fatigue of some sort or another, or complaints of low energy. In fact, maybe even more, because I think it's 80% of the general population. So really tune in on these and be able to look at people and understand where they may have risks and be able to explain it to them and then help them to make the decisions to do the work that you need them to do. So before we jump right in, let's just remind you that this is all for educational purposes only. This is not intended as medical advice, and it's not intended to replace the one-on-one care with a qualified medical doctor. So unless you are working with this client or patient under the guise of you're their prescribing physician, you are their general practitioner, then you need to make sure they're aware that everything you're doing with them is for educational purposes only, to help them make better lifestyle choices that gets them the results they want. So if they're on any medication, be sure they check in with their doctor. So let's just talk a little bit of a summary about metabolism and the energy production process. Metabolism refers to everything in the body, physical and chemical processes that convert or use energy. So all of these areas are important for energy metabolism: breathing, circulating blood, controlling body temperature, contracting muscles, digesting food and nutrients, eliminating waste, functioning of the brain and nerves. All of this stuff is super important. And it all goes down to where the energy is produced in the mitochondria of every cell. So we have to get this working properly. So the major body parts that are involved in energy metabolism are insulin and blood sugar management, right? We have to get the sugar from the food into the cells. We need to be able to get the digestion working so we can get the sugar from the food into the bloodstream so that it can get into the cells. We need to get, once the sugar is into the cells, it needs to be able to get into the mitochondria, and we have to have good functioning mitochondria, which means all the nutrients required for the mitochondria have to be intact. And we've gone through the SNPs related to nutrients, so those are going to be important as well when you're evaluating for energy metabolism. Of course, the thyroid and the adrenals, because the thyroid is what regulates the metabolic rate of every single cell. And then the adrenals, of course, produce the cortisol and keep it balanced. And we can't muster energy when we can't make cortisol. And when we make too much and we wear out the adrenals, then we can't muster the energy. So these are all important pieces. We've looked at the digestion, the insulin, the thyroid, and the adrenals. We have to have a good functioning liver. And the liver, you know, we looked at detoxification. If we're flooding the liver with toxins and it can't work to clear that, we're going to have sluggishness in every cell in the body. And finally, the lungs, because it's filtering the air. So all of these things are involved in energy metabolism. And we've looked at all of them except the mitochondria and specifically the lungs so far, if you've been going in order. So let's talk about some major energy and mitochondria SNPs, and then we'll break it down to more of them that you might want to look at. So these are the major ones that you need to look at initially. So ATP5G3 is related to ATP synthesis. Where does ATP synthesis happen? In the mitochondria. So we have to make sure that if they have SNPs in this area, we have to make sure that we support the energy production even more than we would in somebody without those SNPs. The COX-5A transfers electron from cytochrome C to oxygen in the respiratory chain. So really important part of that whole cellular respiration process. And then finally, NDUFS3, that's NAD dehydrogenase, we know is super important. It's a metabolite of niacin. So we have to have enough niacin, obviously, to make this. And it's involved in the whole electron transport chain. You know, when we go through the Krebs cycle and we're moving from one to the next stage, this is really important. And it helps to transfer the electrons to CoQ10. And that's the final stage of energy metabolism and ATP production. So we really need to make sure that if they have SNPs in this area, that we're supporting the mitochondria, that we're supporting respiration, that we're supporting circulation, that we're supporting all of these things to help the process. By the time glucose gets into the cells and then into the mitochondria, it's been through a lot of processing. And if you're interested in learning more about that, we did a whole SHINE conference about metabolic, and we showed the pieces of it. It's complicated, right? It's not just about giving nutrients that support the mitochondria. But if people have these SNPs, they're going to have more trouble, and you are going to need to look at possibly supplementing them with those nutrients. This is from True Report. It's the genetics of the mitochondria. And we don't see these on the genetic detoxification. We might see some of them here and there, but we don't see them as a grouping on there. But we do in the True Report. I wish there was a one report that gave everything in a nice, neat little table, all categorized, but unfortunately there isn't yet. I'm sure there will be someday. So these are some of the ones we mentioned already, the NDUF, the COX. There's a couple of COX 6A2s, and I'll show you what these mean on the next page. So there's a lot of these NDUFs, which has to do with the electron transport and the ATP. So let's look at what these are. This is a page from that same report that just gives us a little idea. When you do the report, you can actually click. This is actually a hyperlink and read more about it. It sometimes goes to Snippedia and other resources. So the ATPs, there's two here. There's synthesis of ATP, and they call them mutations. I call them variants. You might see them in urea cycle dysfunction. And the second one, the 5C1, we might see in Huntington's disease. So we're not looking at SNPs to predict disease. We're just looking at metabolic imbalances and biochemical imbalances that may be contributed to by or that a person's at risk for when they have particular SNPs. We have the COX5A, the cytochrome C oxidase, 5A and 6C, and they transfer electrons from cytochrome C into oxygen in the respiratory chain. So this is important as we go through in the production of ATP. The NDUFs involved in the electron transport chain, transferring of electrons to CoQ10. Important, that's the last stage in the whole cycle in order to produce ATP. So all of these are involved in the same way. There's just different ones, different RSIDs, et cetera. And you can go back to this chart to actually find the RSIDs. And then the ubiquinol, cytochrome C reductase, is again related to CoQ10. So you can see a lot of these SNPs are related to CoQ10. And guess what you might be looking for in their history that might say, these people need CoQ10 help because they're on a statin. They have these particular SNPs. And they tell you that they're worried about heart disease or they're short of breath when they try to exercise. They have angina, they have chest pain, they've had a heart attack. There's all sorts of things here that you might be able to use to suggest to these people that they need to go to the CoQ10 route. Eat foods that are high in CoQ10, but also to actually take CoQ10. So this is an energy metabolism SNP chart. So there's about 8 pages on this energy metabolism SNP chart. You have it for advanced look-see. You've got enough in this module, in these slides, to get you going. And most people, you're going to check these if there's reasons to go deeper. If you're doing a follow-up, if you're offering them a program, or you're going to do a deep dive comprehensive nutrigenomics and genetics assessment, then you want to go deeper because you want to find all of the homozygous SNPs that this person has and then talk to them about what they can do to protect themselves from that risk, what they can do to support their body. So there's about 8 pages in here, and some of the ones I just mentioned are all in here. Some of the adrenal ones are in here because it's energy metabolism. And then mitochondrial, there's 2 pages of the mitochondrial SNPs, so there's not as many. So these are easy. The mitochondrial SNPs are easy ones to check, and you'll be able to find them. You can find them in the 23andMe reports. If you go to the raw data, you can find them in that True Reports that I just showed you. And if you have genetic life hacks, you can find them in genetic life hacks and also self-decode. So this is other genetic markers that we've already talked about, most of these already, that influence metabolism. The first batch at the top there, those are related to detoxification, cytochrome P450 pathways. The FOX, the CTLA, are related to thyroid, as are the DIO1 and 2 and the PDE8 B, BCMA1, vitamin A, MTR, MTHFR. Those are related to B12 and folate and homocysteine, and that has a lot to do with energy. IGF-1R, that has to do with insulin receptivity, as well as the GLUT2. The UQCR2, that has to do with the mitochondria. TSHR, TPO, all are related to the thyroid. ADR, B2, and A1, and CRH, and NR3, those are all related to the adrenals. And then finally, the COMT is related to the nervous system and has an effect on detoxification and neurotransmitter breakdown. So all of these can influence energy metabolism, and we are looking at them in different ways. Do you need to memorize every single one of these? No, that's why we're giving you charts. And so as you're going through with your client, with their SNP reports, with their lab, with their history, you have reference charts to be able to look a lot of this stuff up. This is the report from Genetic Life Hacks. It's a mitochondrial summary. I'm just going to show you a little bit about what's in here. So the reason I like this report is they're in sections, and then there's additional info you can get when you click these links. So sirtuin, that's related to energy production in mitochondria, CoQ10, and you can click it right there in the report, and you can go to the article about it. So we have the sirtuins, we have the CoQ10, whole bunch of them there. We have depression in mitochondrial function. We have a whole bunch there. The formatting isn't always great. Statins related to brain fog, creatinine, thiamine, vitamin B2, right? Pyruvate dehydrogenase, B2 and MB3 are the most important B vitamins in the Krebs cycle. So that's why you're going to see those a lot. So there's a whole lot more. And you just click the links, mycotoxins and mold. Mold and mycotoxins really hurt the mitochondria. Toxins of all sorts hurt the mitochondria. Okay. And then there you go. So all of these things, you can dig as deep as you want to. Learn what I'm teaching you here. Reference these particular SNPs. Practice it on several of your people. And you're going to get a lot further along than you think, a lot quicker. But practice, 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 practice. I'm still learning this stuff. Every single day I am learning this stuff. So don't expect to get to know it all at once. So the next report I want to show you here is from Self-Decode, has a fatigue summary report. So I'm just going to go into that one. And I want to show you this because there's a lot of pieces. And I've broken up some of the pieces and put them into separate documents so you have access to them on the page. So this is overall fatigue. And there's a lot of things related to overall fatigue. There's general low energy and chronic fatigue. There's stuff we looked at before in anemia and blood cells and iron, hemoglobin. So we're not going to look at those right now, but I pulled those out into a separate anemia report. And so really, let's just look here. Low energy, it gives you a lot of variance, a lot of places you can go. You know, just really is a good learning opportunity for you, right? These documents will be linked right on the page where you're watching this video. And so there's the overall fatigue, but then there's physical fatigue, exercise, recovery, endurance. This is all part of that big fatigue one. So you can look to see, is this person like, oh my God, I'm going to the gym and I'm exhausted for 3 or 4 days. I don't have the endurance I used to have. I don't recover. They may have some SNPs related to it, and you can support them nutritionally and support them by sometimes getting them off of so much exercise. So in summary, we've got a lot of energy SNPs. We've got a lot related to energy metabolism. It's more than just mitochondria. It's more than just the thyroid and the adrenals. It's a whole body of information that you've learned up till now and can continue to learn. And you're looking for clues. Whenever you're looking at their labs, you're looking at their history, you're looking at their SNPs, you're looking for clues as to why do they feel the way they feel. If it's energy, obviously you're going to be looking here, right? So what do you do? I recommend, because it's so connected to so many things, that you help them decrease their toxic load, identify chemicals in their environment, identify mold exposures, identify mycotoxins. Avoid the foods that interfere with mitochondrial function. Sugar kills mitochondria. Of course, pesticides and all that stuff, it kills the mitochondria. Processed grains, there's no nutrients in there to get it through. So if you have pure sugar, or processed grains that have had the germ removed and there's no B vitamins there, then we don't have enough B2 and B3, especially to get through there. We don't have enough of the micronutrients. And then oxidized fats are a nemesis to mitochondria. The oxidized fats free radical production always hurts the mitochondria. And then we want to help them to support and consume foods and herbs that enhance mitochondrial function, greens and rainbow vegetables and fruits and omega-3 fats. And we want them to reduce stress because stress creates oxidative byproducts and then damages the mitochondria and lowers the energy. Intermittent fasting has been found to be tremendous for supporting mitochondrial health. And then whatever you need, supplement. But we don't go right to supplement. We look at lifestyle, we advise them, and we use the genetic findings along with their history, along with their labs to encourage them, to help to motivate and inspire them to make the changes they need to. So see you on the next.